Welcome back, everybody, on a Wednesday. You know, Snerdly, baby, when I met you, there was peace unknown. I set out to get you with a fine-tooth comb. I was soft inside, and there was something going on. Snerdly, I can't do this one alone. I need some help. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Alex Jones. Well, thank you, Rush. You do something to me that you can't explain. Hold me closer and I feel no pain. Every beat of my heart, we got something going on. Well, tender love is blind and it requires a dedication. All this love we feel needs no conversation. We ride it together. Ah, make love to one another. Ah, islands in the stream. That is what we are. No one in between. How could we be wrong? Sail away with me to another world, and we'll rely on each other. Uh-huh. From one lover to another. Uh-huh. We'll be right back on the EIB Network.
105.9. Politics, 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 politics.
The last thing I need to do. No, that's great. That's a great idea. After blowing out your voice in the first 2 seconds of the show, you should really do a Vince McMahon impression.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta blow out your voice. Yeah, yeah, you gotta. He's gotta blow out his voice.
Okay. This is why I'm not a professional broadcaster, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just some asshole on the internet. Hi, my name is Justin Robert Young. I'm the host of Politics, Politics, Politics. So much to get to. Trump in the Holy Land. We finally have an election coming up tomorrow.
Ooh.
What did we do? What did we do to be so lucky to get an election tomorrow? And it's a goodie. We got some weird shit going down in Montana. But first, let me clue y'all in on something. We're going to get it out of the way at the top. One of the biggest things that has come up over and over and over again by people who enjoy this show is that we used to do it 3 days a week. We used to do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Onesie Wednesday we had because there was 3 days and it was leading up to the election. It was pretty fun. So, when the election was over, I assumed that things would calm down and we would not have enough news to go 3 days a week. As I think we have all learned, that is not the case. There is not only plenty of news to do 3 days a week, but sometimes we lose news. We didn't even mention the whole healthcare thing, and that was a major, major, major event. But because it happened a week away and James Comey got fired the day before, we didn't really, it wasn't the show to be done that day. So I got good news and bad news. What do you guys want first? In the live chat here, go ahead and let me know. What do you guys want first? The good news or the bad news? I don't know whether or not some people are tell me the bad news first kind of people. Some people are tell me the good news first kind of people, and then we'll justify whatever the cost is. Here's the bad news. Actually, I guess I kind of got to tell you the good news first. Here's the bad news. I would like for people who want to hear 3 politics, politics, politics episodes a week to pay for that privilege. I have never in my career done anything behind a paywall. You know, albums, I guess. It would be the only thing that you had to buy to hear. The problem with going back to 3 days a week of politics, politics, politics is that I already filled those time slots in my schedule by doing other stuff. On Mondays, now I do the wrestling podcast. On Fridays, I do a super long Twitch stream. So I really can't put them back where they used to be. So here's my pitch. All right, and you guys tell me whether you like it or not. I am going to do this Wednesday show for free forever. I am also going to do slightly shorter, think closer to 30 minutes than an hour, headline editions of Politics, Politics, Politics. Effectively, PX3 Extra. P-Extra. We're going to build a paywall and make Mexico pay for it. So here's the deal. If you are a patron of patreon.com/jury, at the $3 level, then you will get a separate RSS feed that will give you the Monday and Friday editions of the show. This show stays free forever. If you don't like, you don't need it, you don't want it, you don't have to have it. It's just extra stuff. So if you are interested in that, then go ahead and head on over to patreon.com/JURY. If you're already at $3, which 30% of you guys already are, then don't worry. You're already going to get it. You're going to get a Patreon message on Friday with the RSS feed. You're already good to go. In fact, if you want to listen to Mondays, it's up there right now for anybody at $3 or above. You can go listen to Monday's episode right now. The RSS feed's coming. If not, don't worry. This has been something that I've thought about a lot. I feel, I'm going to be honest with you guys, I feel dirty about it. I feel bad about it. I feel very sensitive about it. Jeremy Lundy, one of the hardcores of this chat and so many of our shows, was poking at me, and I got hot because I feel weird about it because I've never done it before. But my schedule is at a point where it makes sense if it's a monetary thing. It doesn't quite make sense if it doesn't. So that's the idea. If you want more PX3, it's going back to the 3. We're putting the 3 back in PX3 in so many ways. 3 episodes a week, $3 a week. That's it. It's a buck an episode every week. That's what you're paying for. And, of course, you also get everything else that we do on the Patreon. So, it's on the Jury podcast. Musical Chemist is asking if it's going to be anywhere else. No. Patreon.com/jury, JURY. That's where you do it. If you adjust your pledge, then you're going to get the RSS feed on Friday. Friday is when you will get it. So, that is that. We're back to 3 days a week. Because that's what I need in my life, is more stuff to do. So, that's that. Let's go ahead and get into the... and I think I'm retiring the Rush Limbaugh bit. Once Rush Limbaugh and Alex Jones sing Islands in the Stream together, we're done. You're out, right? How else are you going to top it? The only other thing I could think of is if Rush did the entire song of Tom Sawyer. Pete Pfeiffer says, was that the good news? I don't know what he's talking about, whether or not Rush Limbaugh. Okay, and now we're getting people protesting. How about this? Where are we at right now on the Patreon? Where are we at? We're at 709 a podcast. Looking at how many people are at a dollar. If you guys are into it, the $3 faithful, I'll do the Rush bits on the extra episodes. How's that? How about that? How about that? I'm going to move Rush behind the paywall, which for Rush Limbaugh would be kind of appropriate, right? Maybe Bernie Sanders can fill the void. We're going to get to Bernie. Bernie has a new best friend, and he lives in Montana, and they ride bikes together, and they hold hands, and they talk about how great they are. Okay. Let's get into the news. Donald Trump's in the Holy Land. He's in the holiest of holy lands. He went to Saudi Arabia, then Israel. And it's gone well. You know, for Trump, again, we said last week that Donald Trump, in a world where he had, you know, the Comey stuff was still percolating, the revelation that Comey had notes that said that he felt like he was asked to stop the investigation into Michael Flynn, that there might be a softening in Donald Trump's approval ratings, because that's the kind of stuff that makes, you know, like people like Representative Al Green of Texas call for impeachment. Because even if it is not obstruction of justice, man, it kind of looks like obstruction of justice. If you squint, it kind of looks like obstruction of justice. But so far, we've had a good week for the Donald. In every category, except for him holding his wife's hand. Oh, my God. Did y'all see that? Jesus. Tell you what, sometimes when you travel, especially if you got a kid, do they got the kid with them? You know, it gets a little heated sometime. Donald Trump keeps trying to hold his wife's hand, and his wife's just like, come on. Get out of the way. But this trip has been good for a couple reasons. Number one, it's allowed him to look presidential in a way that he doesn't normally. Number two, he literally cannot watch MSNBC. So he's tweeted a lot less. In fact, since he's been out there in flying around, traveling every day, his Twitter has been a quiet place, right? Let's take a look at Donald Trump's Twitter. There we go. All right, real Donald Trump. I still can't get over the fact. Oh, my God. I did not stop it. Stop it. I didn't realize this until we're literally looking at it right now. Oh, my God. This is Donald Trump's Twitter right now. He changed his background to an obviously too low-res picture of him smiling while the Pope just looks so grim at him. P-O-P-E, when we done with this meeting, I'm the Pope. God, the Pope doesn't like him. It's so obvious. He's like, dude, I speak directly to God. I am the man for whom peace should be spread. I wash the feet of the poor. I hate you. And Trump knows it. And Trump's just sitting there. And he's just like, hey, man, what's going on? And the Pope's just like, fuck me. Fuck me. How many more seconds? Pope's looking at Donald Trump like he's trying to take an algebra test. And he's just like, oh, God, really? Oh, man. He's just watching the clock. Pope's watching the clock like it's the last day of school. And he's just waiting. How much longer do we have to do? Is that Trump smiling? Oh, that's a Trump smirk. See, look at this. These are his tweets over the last couple days. Honor of a lifetime to meet His Holiness the Pope. All civilized nations must get together to protect human life and the sacred right of our citizens to live in safety and in peace. Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the Middle East were great, trying hard for peace, doing well, heading to Vatican and the Pope, then G7 and NATO. Thank you. What an unforgettable visit from Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Ruvi. We stand in absolute solidarity with the people of the United Kingdom. A nice little picture with him and Bibi Netanyahu. Bunch of pictures from the Rodea summit. A speech transcript. A retweet of Melania Trump. Hold on. Wait a minute. Who the hell? See, by the way, all right. Go ahead and take this look. This was May 18th. May 18th. So this was a week ago before he left. This might have been his last day in America. Here are the tweets. This is the single greatest witch hunt of a politician in American history. With all the illegal acts that took place in the Clinton campaign and Obama administration, there was never a special counsel appointed. Like, this is the president that we're used to. Who the hell is this bizarre weirdo who's, just retweeting his wife and talking about, like, oh, an honor to meet His Holiness the Pope. More determined than ever to pursue peace in our world. Who are you, stranger? And can you please learn what, resolution is on photos so this could actually be high-res? You're telling me they ain't got no high-res cameras in the Vatican? Take a picture with a decent camera. What was this? How do you even make photos this small anymore? Along with that, there's a little air taken out of the Comey stuff. News report comes out that Comey says he did feel like Donald Trump was encouraging him to shut down the investigation. But he's not sure it meets the level of obstruction of justice. Again, the key here is obstruction of justice. And if now, in the most tantalizing moment, with Comey's testifying coming up, and Robert Mueller, the former head of the FBI, now the special investigator, you would think that if there is a there in terms of Comey believing that he was told to shut up and shut shit down, that that's what would be leaking out. It is not. We're not going to go much more into Trump. This is going to be a rare week because Donald Trump is actually being a president and going to countries and being a normal person. Boring. Not going to spend a lot of time. But the Rasmussen poll, which is normally his most, he does the best in, has him at 48% approval rating. We were wondering aloud last week where his approval rating would be. Compared to a Rasmussen poll, it has inflated. This trip, regardless of what anybody wants to think, is a success for him. And literally him just getting away from the cycle and not feeding into it with his tweets or his comments at, various different, various sundry Coast Guard graduations, has proven to be an ally for him. One might wonder if within the White House, there is word getting back to the Donald saying, hey, you know, you don't always have to throw Molotov cocktails. Sometimes, when shit's bad, you can literally just shut up. Just shut your yap. Because if that's the case, look what's happened. Things seem to be doing better. Now, as soon as he gets back to D.C., this Russia thing is going to continue to ratchet up, and we're going to be in the same position that we were. But this has been a good week for him. I'm going to talk about something that is a little controversial now. So strap in, kids. Is everybody strapped? Y'all strapped? Good. His name was Seth Rich. Seth Rich is a now deceased former staffer of the Democratic National Committee. He was murdered in what police initially described as a robbery in his neighborhood of the district. He is now, or the memory of him, is a political football. Seth Rich has become the cause celebrité of reddit.com/r/the_Donald. They have very much pushed it, I think, with two different barrels of this particular shotgun. The first is the general pervasive theory on the right that the Clintons are murderers, that the Clintons have a body count. Read into Vince Foster, the list goes on and on. I mean, this is something, talk about 90s nostalgia. The Clinton body count conspiracies. Now we're talking. And the fact that there still is a question on how Russia impacted the election. That's the larger issue. And so as we have seen from various law enforcement offices, that they believe it was Russian hackers who hacked the DNC and John Podesta's email and then gave it to WikiLeaks, who published it. Julian Assange himself has said that they will never reveal their sources, but there was this young Democratic staffer that was killed. This was months and months ago during the election. So where are we now? Well, Seth Rich's murder is still being investigated. There's a private investigator out there saying that he has evidence that this was not a robbery, which it was initially deemed. And along with the surge from the Donald comes somebody who has very much taken the lead of things that have been raised on the Donald and various other right-wing media, Sean Hannity. The last Boy Scout for Fox News. I mean, again, Fox News did not have Tucker Carlson on its roster on election night. And now Tucker Carlson has Bill O'Reilly's time slot. They have lost Megyn Kelly. I mean, in fairly quick succession over the last year, Greta Van Susteren, Megyn Kelly, Bill O'Reilly. The sole survivor is Sean Hannity of that old ratings power block. And now he has come at odds with his own parent company. Tucker is the bow tie guy, for those that are not in the know. He has pushed the Seth Rich stuff. Seth Rich's family has said, please stop politicizing our son. I'm not here to tell you that I know what the hell went on with Seth Rich. I don't know. I don't tend to trust Julian Assange as far as I can throw the man. I didn't trust him back when liberals loved him and conservatives hated him. I don't really much trust him now that conservatives love him and liberals hate him. I tend to believe in the Occam's razor of it all. I do think that at least part of the information that WikiLeaks got came from Russia. I believe that this is now the new normal, and I don't think that it very much affected the election. Ultimately, candidates are judged by how they handle adversity, not whether or not adversity hits them. So, sure. You can blame the fact that the ball bounced the wrong way, but either you adjust to it or you don't. Both the DNC hacks and the John Podesta email hacks highlighted known weaknesses for Hillary. Yes, they exploited these weaknesses, but she had them. Ultimately, the way that she could have moved forward is to solve the weaknesses in and of herself. She did not do that. She lost the election while winning the popular vote. So there's that. But I do want you guys to play a little game. When you are reading stories about Seth Rich, I want you to keep an eye on something. And remember that there are three separate email issues that happened. The hack of the DNC emails that happened at the Democratic National Convention. That's what cost Debbie Wasserman Schultz her job. That's where we got the Donna Brazile stuff. Or Donna Brazile coming into power. There was the John Podesta hack, which came out the same day that Donald Trump's grab him in the pussy tape happened. And then there is Hillary Clinton's private email server, which again has email in the subject, but is totally separate from the other two. MacBook Pro is kind of objecting to the words hack. Like, hack of the Podesta was a phishing scam, hardly a hack. Yeah, but, you know, that's what we just call these things. Because oftentimes, hacks are not, like, leet. You know, it's not Hugh Jackman sitting in front of five monitors while techno music plays and, you know, the camera swings behind him. It is kind of dumb stuff like that. Also, remember that tabloids in Britain got in trouble for phone hacking, which was literally just them calling the voicemails of celebrities and typing in the default number. So if that's hacking, then certainly phishing is more advanced than that. Like, literally, that's just figuring out, oh, the default password is 12345. Let me call Paul McCartney and try to enter 12345. Oops, I just got into his email. So yeah. Hack's a buzzword. I agree with you, MacBook Pro. I don't necessarily think that it's a thing. Okay, yeah. Semantics X3. Let's move on. Keep these things straight. These various email issues. Because as long as we are delving back into the past, you can trust the veracity of the source that you are reading by how much they are keeping these things straight. Hillary Clinton's private email server is what Donald Trump, in his words, jokingly asked Russia to hack into after the DNC hacks came out. The Podesta hacks came out later, and they were drip, drip, dripped until Election Day. So as you're reading this, because as I'm reading a lot of these Seth Rich things, I'm like, all right, I don't know if the reporters know exactly even the stuff that Seth Rich could have done. The only one that he could have affected would be the DNC hacks, the ones that dropped at the Democratic National Committee. And theoretically, if you're going to assume, let's walk down this fantasy world, that he is the WikiLeaks leaker, much like Chelsea Manning was, which, by the way, Chelsea Manning was released from prison this week. How many people connect the dots that Chelsea Manning, lauded by the left, was doing the exact same thing that the Russians were doing? Does anybody really connect those dots? Like, and I'm not saying fuck Chelsea Manning. All I'm saying is, shows you how far we've come, right? Because when then Bradley Manning was going to prison, there was a large outcry. WikiLeaks was shining sunlight on the dirty deeds of the Bush administration. A hero, a whistleblower. And now WikiLeaks, you know, they do this. The Russian stuff is the Russian stuff, whatever it is. Or it's Seth Rich or somebody else. And now I don't think we look at the informants the same way. Just saying. Makes you think, IMO. Let's move on. Something fun. All right, y'all ready to have some fun? We're going to have some goddamn fun, all right? Here we go. We got an election to talk about. We have an election, finally. Oh, God, I hate talking about government. I love talking about elections. Where is this election taking place? Oh my God. I don't know what that was. Here we go. So I guess you'll never hear me on the radio. And I'd give up this crazy dream of mine to hold you once more. A special election on Thursday, so let's go ahead and size up these competitors. Oh, it's going to be a barn burner. It's going to be a real humdinger. And really, ultimately, the only reason why, like, normally, why the hell do we give a shit about the Montana special election, right? Why? Well, we know why. Because we don't care about who actually gets elected in Montana. Hint, it's going to be the Republican. What we care about is how much they get elected by, because we want to ascertain whether or not... Just the way. Whether or not we're looking at a... What, Kanye? Just the way. A wave election next year in the midterm. We are looking for any data we can find to see that that there might be a big change in government because of the unpopularity of Donald Trump and the Republican Party. It's a long way to go, but let's go ahead and take a look at our cast of characters here. Everything you need to know about Montana's special election. The road to the high-stakes 2017 special elections is now traveling into the Mountain West, where on Thursday, Republican multimillionaire tech executive Greg Gianfronte. Is going to take on Ron Quist in Montana. After the GOP survived a closer-than-expected battle in Kansas's 4th District and kept Democrat John Ossoff below the 50% threshold in the Georgia 6th District to force a runoff, Republicans are hoping to hold on to this seat for Montana's at-large U.S. House seat. The seat is vacant because President Trump tapped Representative Ryan Zink to be Secretary of the Interior. He was confirmed March 1st, and Governor Steve Bullock scheduled a special election for May 25th. Republicans have held the seat for 2 decades and are favored to hold it on Thursday. Let's go ahead and meet the fellas. Republican Greg Gianfronte, 56, is a former technology and software computer executive who unsuccessfully ran for governor in 2016. He founded the Brightwork Development in 1986 and sold the business 8 years later. He retired at 33. Holy shit! That dude retired a year younger than I am right now. Quote, after realizing that he couldn't spend the rest of his life fly fishing, the multimillionaire founded another tech company located in Bozeman called Right Now Technologies, which he sold in 2011. Now, we're going to get into some of the back and forth here in a second. Meanwhile, Democrat Ron Quist, 69, giggity, is a bluegrass and country singer-songwriter, a former member of the Montana Arts Council, and a small business owner. He's a Bernie Sanders-esque populist candidate who has frequently performed at an Ohio nudist resort. Quist turned toward the country with the Mission Mountain Wood Band before moving to a horse ranch in rural northwest Montana. Quist narrowly defeated former U.S. Senate candidate Amanda Curtis at the party's convention in March in 4 ballots. His past financials are under scrutiny. Now, obviously, both of these people are very, very interesting. But I think anybody who's listened to this show knows that there's one I'm going to immediately be more fascinated by. And that, of course, is Ron Quist. I immediately had to look up some Quist jams. And so I did. And by the way, the ads are out in force. The Google ads are out in force. Whenever you Google either one of these guys, you can see the attack ads for it. So it was very funny when I saw right above my search result an ad, a Google ad that said, "Meet Ron Quist. Did you know he's for a national gun registry?" Which in Montana is a poison pill. And right below that was the first result of Ron Quist songs. A 45 caliber man.
Throw it all away. Love, this isn't a season for the faint of heart. It's time that we made our stand. And people, if we're gonna save Virginia City, it's gonna take a 45 caliber man.
Break it down, Rob. Rob, sorry. It's Christian music, baby! Living Wild and Free is the album that 45 Caliber Man appears on. But this campaign has gotten a little wild and woolly. Both of them are colorful characters, and they have been attacked for their various and sundry issues. Let's go ahead and take a look. This is from Politico today. In Montana's upcoming special election, Republican Greg Gianforte and Democrat Rob Quist are getting pounded on the airwaves and in local papers. Democrats paint Gianforte as an out-of-touch plutocrat with financial ties to Russia and ISIS. Holy shit! Talk about the two-piece in a biscuit, Russia and ISIS. I mean, he's got a lot of time, man, if he's been out of work since 33. And meanwhile, Republicans frame Quist, a musician, as a tax-dodging pothead who skipped out on his debts and performed at a nudist resort. Yet political pros from Kalispell to Washington, D.C. are amazed that so little of the mud seems to be sticking. Now some are wondering if it's the new normal after a bitter 2016 presidential campaign marked by an avalanche of attacks and sensational revelations against Donald Trump that once would have doomed candidates to defeat. The threshold for Oppo is certainly higher, and the shock value is at a different level given Trump. Longtime Democratic strategist Zach Petkanzas, a veteran of the Democratic National Committee and the Hillary Clinton campaign, pointing out a new, hypercharged political landscape constantly filled with Trump news. Private GOP polling shows Thursday's contest for Montana's lone seat in the House of Representatives has tightened slightly in the home stretch. Gianforte confirmed as much on Tuesday, twice declaring at roughly 40 residents in a park here that the race is closer than it should be. This is a article by Politico saying how Trump killed political mudslinging. I got a little bit of a problem with that. Because I'm not here to minimize the kind of effect that Donald Trump had on the political news cycle. I mean, I think that's fairly undeniable. But the other element here is the fact that, like, Hillary Clinton was under FBI investigation when she was running for president. I mean, nothing like being under FBI investigation when you are president. But that's something that was just glossed over. And this is what gets me. And this kind of gets back to the Seth Rich thing a little bit. Part of what feeds some of the healthy element of people being obsessed with Seth Rich is the fact that they don't trust the media. And they don't trust what they see to be liberal outlets covering for Democrats. And so, sure, you might believe that Hillary Clinton will be cleared of all charges by the FBI, but she's still under investigation. Many people feel like, whatever, who cares, FBI investigation, blah, 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 let's move on. The fact that that was just kind of glossed over is something that rubs people the wrong way. In the same way that I believe that Benghazi became the thing that it did because of the cartoon thing. There's an element of this country that felt that when Benghazi happened, and all of a sudden it was blamed by some lunatic, not a cartoon, making his dumb short film, that was the public at large being lied to. It's what right-wing media feeds off of. And I don't blame them for that. You can blame them for where they go with their conclusions, but I don't blame them for the fact that they feel like they are misled. And so these kind of articles get on my nerves a bit. Because it's like, sure, Donald Trump was a wild asshole during the election, and I'm positive that there has been some kind of net effect of what is shocking and what is not shocking in 2017 compared to 2012 or 2008. But it's not like Hillary Clinton wasn't somebody with baggage. And I think that it's underrated how much everybody just looking to put their head down and point out that the Empress has beautiful robes on instead of nothing. That does to especially issues in highly red areas of the country. But let's get back to Montana. In fact, you want to know what? I don't even know. Do y'all think that they have places where you can relax in Montana? You know? Places where you can blow off a little little steam, you know? Maybe maybe head out with the boys, you know? Like just and girls, you know. Maybe everybody can check it out a little bit, you know. Maybe see a couple farmers' daughters. I mean, let's see exactly how this Montana special election is going in a...
Get on the floor if you got that booty.
This is a Google consumer survey from May 21st to May 23rd, 2017, with a sample size of 385 and a 5% margin of error. Welcoming first to the stage, the member from the Green Party, Thomas Breck. Just kidding, Thomas. You received no votes in this survey. Please return to the back. At 6%, it's the Libertarian candidate. Ladies, he's got big wicks. Yeah, it's Mark Wicks. In second place, with 40% of the vote, it's the Republican, Greg Gianforte. And your headliner at 54% of the vote, ladies and gentlemen, he's the 4-5 caliber man. He ain't prude. He's played those nudist colonies. He might dodge his taxes, but he's into you, girl. Ladies and gentlemen, it is with 54%, Rob Wade. This is definitely an outlier, by the way. In most of the other polls, Gianforte is indeed winning. But it is close. And again, we really don't... I mean, it's major news if Quist wins. But if he's close, then just realize that all you're going to hear about is... Just the wave. That's all anyone's going to talk about. And then, by the way, thank God we can move on from this. We can go into the sixth in Georgia. Thank God we actually have campaigns to talk about. Oh man, this is great. Journey Quist. All right, we got another story here about Brazil that we're going to talk about. But first, let's go ahead and let everybody know that, as we mentioned at the top of the show, you can support this program at patreon.com/JURY. Again, patreon.com/JURY. I've seen a bunch of people already adjusting their pledges or pledging for the first time. Thank you guys very, very much. You can go ahead and check it out. Patreon.com/JURY, including this show and the jury show at...
Oh, no.
Like, what do they want him to do? Hey, that's me doing the headline show from Monday. Go ahead and check it out. As well, if you didn't get the book club special episode we did last week, go ahead and check that out as well. Man, thank you guys so much. Trying to do more and more for y'all at patreon.com/JURY. And the contender, thecontender.us is also where you can support this show. New mini expansion coming out this Friday. It is going to take quotes from Trump's first 100 days. It's called Heavy Lies the Crown. It will have, I'll tell you what. Trump, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Sally Yates, James Comey, Vladimir Putin is in this one. Al Green, who is the, not the musician, but the man who called for Donald Trump's impeachment on the floor of the House of Representatives. And, man, there's one more person who is in this this expansion. You know, I kind of can't remember him. He's an actor. He's an actor who has been musing publicly about running for president. Like, he was on, it's on Saturday Night Live this last week.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Oh, my God. The Rock himself. The great one. The pie-eating, jabroni-beating. Meet you at the corner of Jabroni Boulevard and Know Your Role Street. Ladies and gentlemen, the great one, The Rock, is also in the newest contender expansion. Go ahead and check it out. Finally, The Rock has come back to the contender expansion. Heavy Lies the Crown. It'll be out on Friday. Go ahead and sign up for the mailing list. You'll know exactly when it goes on sale. Or follow me on Twitter, at Justin R. Young. Follow the contender on Twitter, at Contender Games. Okay. That brings us to Brazil. This was an email that we got in. Just wanted to let you know that Brazil's politics continue to be crazy. One of the major beef processors is in trouble for selling tainted beef. Apparently, they taped a conversation with the current sitting president where he has talked openly about buying another major politician's silence. They are already calling for impeachment hearings and an early emergency election this year, since he is standing in for the old president, who was already impeached earlier this year. Let's go ahead and take a look here at this news story. Brazilian President Michel Temer gave his blessing to an attempt to pay potential witness to remain silent in the country's biggest ever graft probe, according to a plea bargain testimony by a powerful businessman. Newspaper O Globo reported on Wednesday. Temer's office on Wednesday acknowledged that he had met in March with the businessman, Chairman Joseli Batista of meat giant JBS SA, but denied any part of the alleged efforts to keep jailed former House Speaker Eduardo Cunha from testifying. O Globo's report, with three sources familiar with the matter, said was accurate, threatened to pull Temer into a corruption scandal that has already entangled several of his closest allies and advisors. Fogo to Chuck. Apparently Brazil is saying, obrigado. To scandal. We will be following this. I'm pumped. Man, I'll tell you what. I know the rest of these political podcasts that y'all listen to are all just like, I don't know, but what did Trump do this time? Did he tweet? Oh, is Trump around? What did Trump do? Well,
Well, let's focus. Sally Yates, a deal breaker or not, we'll be right back. Ain't no one bringing you this. Ain't nobody bringing you the deep dive into Ron Quist. Ain't nobody bringing you the Brazil beef scandal. Come on. That's what we do here. Go ahead and send us an email, theyoungamerican@gmail.com. Again, theyoungamerican@gmail.com. I'm starting Wednesday's podcast, and you're making a comment about the person that only gets their politics news from you. Well, I wanted to let you know that I'm that guy. I don't watch or listen to any other news other than what I hear on DTNS, TMS, and Politics X3. I only get the important stuff that is happening at happy hours or overhearing conversation. I just wanted you to know that there is somebody out there that relies on you to give me these stories. Thanks for all you do. Steven from Cedar Park, stop it. Become more educated. This cannot stand. Like, please also listen to me, but for God's sakes, that's irresponsible. Rishi writes, you made a good point about McCain and Alex Jones being excited and having the most to gain from Trump's impeachment. You got to figure that Pence is also excited for this mint, too, though. He's got to be hiding it in some corner of the White House, watching chips fall where they will, patting Trump's head when appropriate, and hoping nobody asks him to speak. Thanking Zeus, Trump's plane got delayed that one night in Indiana, leading Trump to stay at Pence's house. Now, each revelation brings Pence one step closer to the presidency, assuming that the Russia investigation doesn't touch him, too. So Trump gets to drive around and Pence gets to proselytize from the Oval Office. Everybody wins. Keep up the good podcast, my man. You know, the idea of Pence staying in office during an impeachment scandal is also kind of rare. It would involve Trump quitting. Something tells me that's not going to happen. Paul writes, hope you and yours are well. Just wanted to pass along something I picked up during the recently completed semester. One of the courses I took was on Korean politics, and the attached paper explains the divisions in the Korean political landscape better than just about anything I've read. It's by Chu Jang Jeep. Oh, murdered that one. And details the three basic cleavages that arose around World War II and exist today. Authoritarianism versus democracy, economic development versus economic and social justice, and conservatism versus popular reunification. Free time is probably scarce for you, given that you are the current house of horrors that is American politics, but I thought I'd send this in case you were interested. Also, there's this from Robert E. Kelly of Kids crashing his BBC interview fame. Moon Jae-in hasn't been president long enough to pick out curtains for the Blue House, and conservatives are already painting him as a North Korean stooge. Good times. Good times. Jordan says, I've been wondering if Putin had the meeting in the White House recorded and now has a damning tape of Trump. I mean, he'd be a fool not to record it, right? Regardless of what happened before, Putin would then have something real over Trump. Just a thought that worried me a bit as I thought about it, so I figured I'd write in and see if it stuck with you. Not really. I mean, I don't know how freewheeling the White House really is compared to what we think it is. I would suspect it's probably close. But those kinds of visits, you can find out more in other ways. You know, you rarely does Trump leak from the top. Or any kind of organization leak from the top. Now, you might get confirmed stuff, but I don't think there's anything damaging in a state visit. Logan writes, I find myself wondering at what point the Republican Party will take the L and concede to impeaching Trump with the Dems. Of course, impeaching a president from your own party is a bad look, but not the end of the world. The 2000 election certainly proved that considering how close it was, so at what point is it worth getting Trump out to end the bad press he brings and trying to get their agenda done with Pence? Or is there some ulterior motive for keeping him around? Thanks for the excellent work. We'll be supporting on the Patreon soon. Thank you so much, Logan. Okay. I don't think that John Podesta came out and railed against Trump and also said that he doesn't think that impeachment is a realistic thing. And I don't think so either. Here's why. The goal of a party is to put a president into the White House. You don't win the game and then seek to vacate your win. Also, the Republicans are in general less concerned about press than Democrats because they know they're going to get murdered in the press. So it would be nice if there could be, at the very least, a clear narrative. I think that irks some Republicans in office. But they don't care that people hate Trump. Now, if people really, really, really start hating Trump to the point where we start talking about
just the way,
then it'll be a problem. But even then, you just don't put him out there on the trail. One person in the White House controls a tremendous amount of the government. And once you agree to open up the impeachment bottle, you can't really direct where that genie goes. It's a wildfire. You can't hope that, oh, sure, it'll kill Trump and then Pence will stay there. Republicans aren't doing anything to get anybody out of office. A reminder that we are indeed giving away one free contender base game or contender expansion a week for the people on our mailing list. If you want to sign up for that, you can go ahead and do so at bit.ly/contendergames. Again, bit.ly, capital C, contender, capital G, games. And you can buy the contender at thecontender.us. Of course, you can email the show at theyoungamerican@gmail.com. Music is provided by Valesco and Trap Killers. And you can follow me at Justin R. Young everywhere, including send me a picture of you with your morning coffee and your 5 o'clock beers on Snapchat. I love that. Download archived episodes of this show at BonerWars.com. Remember, folks, some people bring you politics. Others bring you politics. Still more try to bring you politics, but this is the only show that brings your ass all three. I will see you guys on Friday.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.